Welcome to Bullships, where we use pop culture to initiate conversations, call out the myths portrayed in entertainment, and empower listeners with information to improve relationships. We're your hosts, Kelly and Stephanie. Hello, welcome to episode 28. Yeah. We are back.
We're back with good sound.
Yes.
And we're ready to go.
Hopefully.
No, if not.
Exactly. So thanks for hanging in with us. I know last week we weren't able to send out an episode, but we are we're coming back
we're
with
back.
Big Little Lies. So this is episode 28, Happily Ever, Big Little Lies. And it's actually going to be on the same episode. So season 2, episode 3.
Yep.
We're ready to go.
Yes.
I love this series.
I love this
series. Season 1 was amazing.
I think the reason that I was so attracted to it in the first place, I mean, the cast is phenomenal, right?
Agreed.
And then the visual of where they live in Monterey, California,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Oh, it's stunning.
Yeah.
So you're already pulled in
yes.
by just what
yeah.
the real estate
And you
porn.
Like the water.
I do love the water. Yeah. And I love a good female, strong female cast.
Agreed.
So it's
agreed.
Been a great show.
They've been amazing. And then this season, obviously we find out, you know, the
yeah.
big secret at the end of last season. And then this season, we have Meryl Streep
oh
that's
my God.
Added to
yes.
the cast. And although she is just...
She makes me uncomfortable.
Yes, she makes me so uncomfortable. She's so good, but that's
yeah.
good. That's great acting.
That's
that
great
she makes
acting.
You uncomfortable. So
oh, she gives me the willies.
I know.
Because this is season 2. I feel mm-hmm. like it's fair game to say what happens at the end of season 1, or do we want to just say the thing that happened?
I think
it's okay.
Yeah, I think
okay.
if you're watching season 2, you've seen season 1.
Okay.
Unless you're one of those people that can just watch a different season without knowing what's
I
going
know.
On. But no, I'm guessing everybody
should
so spoiler
know.
Alert,
spoiler
if you have not
alert.
Seen season 1, we're going to talk about it. Or
yeah.
the ending of season 1, we're going to talk about it. So do you want to
Well, the thing the that happened, and I know we're in episode 3, so you've had a little catching up to do, people, if you haven't watched it. But at the end of season 1, Celeste, who's played by Nicole Kidman, her husband, Perry, dies.
Mm-hmm.
At the hands of
mm-hmm.
one of the women.
Yes.
He was being violent with her. Yes.
yeah.
Being violent with his wife, and the friends came in and they started an altercation with him and they pushed him down the stairs and he died.
Mm-hmm.
So this season they have Celeste's mother-in-law, so
mm-hmm.
her dead husband's mom
mm-hmm.
living with her. She's a trip. She's
mm-hmm.
the one that's Meryl Streep.
Yes.
And then it just kind of follows the lives of the women and kind of what they're going through
mm-hmm.
post-secret.
Yes.
So that's kind of the first topic we wanted to talk about is how
mm-hmm.
holding a secret,
mm-hmm.
how damaging it
yeah.
can be to your friendships,
yes.
to your marriage,
yep.
to your professional development.
I think to yourself,
to
too.
Yourself, to your children,
yes.
to the whole, to the, it just... like penetrates
yes.
every piece of your life.
Yes, absolutely. And I think we are starting to see this. I mean, oh gosh, you're going to have to tell me Meryl Streep's character's
Louise,
name.
Mary Louise.
Mary Louise.
Yeah.
So she's coming in to kind of like really figure out what's going
yes.
on. You can tell she's skeptical that she didn't, you know, that he didn't really actually just fall down the stairs, which
mm-hmm.
is the story that everyone is saying. Even though I sometimes think about that and I think, I feel like if they were to actually just tell the truth, people would be like very understanding
I
about
know.
It.
This
so...
has been my biggest hang up with it. Like, you were defending somebody
exactly.
who was like getting the shit kicked
yes.
out of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, Mary Louise is trying to find out what is going on. And so you kind of see everything that's going on with the women of this show,
mm-hmm.
you know, how it's affecting all of them by holding on to this secret. Granted, they have each other to talk to,
mm-hmm.
But you can tell it's in secret. They have to be careful that, you know, no one's listening. I think the one who's really displaying it the most is Bonnie.
Yes.
You can tell she's so out of it. And her husband is
yeah.
even, like, very concerned for her and is trying to be there for her. But Bonnie knows she can't open up and say anything. And so
right.
he's feeling very, very distant. And she is... You know, I would say just really struggling with this.
Most definitely. She's the one that has the most accurate portrayal of PTSD symptomology.
Mm-hmm.
Like with her flashbacks and
mm-hmm.
with the disengagement
mm-hmm.
and with the depression
mm-hmm.
that comes along with it.
Yeah.
kind of, like, even her daughter had said something in the episode before, like, are you and dad going to get divorced? Yeah. And she said, no, and then immediately, like, turned it around. Mm-hmm. But as you could just see her mm-hmm. actively pushing down
yes.
this, and she's the one that ultimately pushed Perry, so she's the one who seems to have the most intense
yes.
flashbacks
yes.
from it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she is... I don't know, what would you say how she's kind of responding to her friends? Because they're all a little bit chatty about it, and they're like, hey, we're still good, right? Mm-hmm. We're not telling anybody. Nobody mm-hmm. knows. You didn't tell mm-hmm. anybody. So they're all in cahoots a little
yes.
bit, and it feels like Bonnie is a little bit pushed out, right?
Yeah, I think it's because she's really yeah. struggling with it and yeah. wonders, like, how long can I keep this going mm-hmm. if this is how I feel, just holding it on for, like, mm-hmm. or holding on to the secret for, like, a little bit, like... Are we, you know, I think she's in her head, like, how am I expected to keep this secret forever?
Yeah.
And so I think she's starting to realize, you know, I don't think it's possible because of mm-hmm. how it's affecting her, the rest of her life. And, you know, I think, like you said, she's maybe the one outwardly displaying it the most, but all of the women are struggling.
They definitely
with,
are.
You know, with this, they just display it differently.
That's what's so, I think, valuable about mm-hmm. it is because you can all mm-hmm. go through the same experience, mm-hmm. yet all have different symptoms of how
yes.
you show it in
yes.
your environment.
Yeah. So we know with Madeline, you know, mm-hmm. She cheated on her husband, on
yeah.
Ed. And, you know, so there's that piece. Mm-hmm. You know, there is, oh gosh, Nicole Kidman's character who, you know, she's struggling with, like, you know, the balance between, okay, I know he wasn't a good guy, but
yeah.
I still loved him and we had all these great memories and we have these kids. So she's struggling with that.
Very complicated grief with that.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, Renata's just kind of...
She is.
She's bulldozing
everyone. She's just bulldozing everybody with it.
Who I'm like, who else have we not talked about?
Jane.
Oh, Jane. And, mm-hmm. and then Jane. Like, because of the experience, what's happening, how it's affecting her dating relationship. So,
yeah.
You know, like we were saying, you know, it's affecting all of them differently. And mm-hmm. I like that they're able to portray all that. But again, going back to our topic of, you know, holding on to a secret, I kind of visually look at it as it has to go somewhere. Like mm-hmm. that energy, that feeling mm-hmm. that, you know, it has to go somewhere. And so how are these women gonna release that? And like you said, you know, perhaps they're, you know, using not healthy coping mechanisms.
Right.
You know, and so we'll see how this continues.
We will see.
Yeah.
It'll be yeah. really interesting to see how they end up kind of resolving this secret that they
mm-hmm.
have. And the thing too, I wanted to add about Bonnie that makes her, I don't want to say unique, but just kind of different. And I've wondered if this is why she struggles as much as she does, because
yeah.
she's so grounded mm-hmm. and spiritual. She's the different one
yes.
of the group.
Yes.
And so this, I suspect that she's always lived a very honest, open,
absolutely.
Calm life.
Yes.
I mean, even when her mom comes in, she
yes.
notices, like, this something ain't right here.
Yes.
And so being so obviously conflicted with mm. something that is so against her morals
totally.
Is just, it's breaking her down,
yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, yeah,
we'll see how it plays
we'll
out.
We'll see how this continues
but
to play
But we will
out for
see,
all of
or
them.
What we do see right now mm-hmm. is when you do hold on to trauma and you don't talk to anybody about it and you don't
mm-hmm.
do anything about it, it
mm-hmm.
festers.
Yeah.
And it will come out in some sort of way.
Yes.
So if anybody ever experiences, oh,
yeah.
I would say something like this. Nobody would
yeah.
ever experience something
yeah.
like this. Hopefully not.
Yeah.
But any sort of trauma where you're experiencing these things, it
mm-hmm.
has to be tended to because
mm-hmm.
it will grow.
Yes.
And we'll see how it plays out with
exactly.
her.
Exactly. So going into the next topic,
mm-hmm.
So we're going to look at Reese's character, Madeline.
Madeline. Uh-huh.
Madeline. Madeline. Madeline.
I think it's Madeline and I spelt it wrong.
Or it's Madeline, but I think somebody calls her Madeline, and she's, I think it's Madeline.
Okay.
Actually.
Okay.
Okay. So we'll go with Madeline.
I know. I just want to call her Reese.
Yeah. We'll just call
if you post a picture of our notes, you'll see all these misspelled names on here. I've already seen like four different
ones. Okay. So it doesn't matter.
Don't judge
us. As long as we can read it. And so, you know, her and Ed go to a therapy session. So their situation, we talked a little bit about, Reese cheated on her husband with like the
theater
director
or something.
Oh yeah, she was putting on a play or something, because she's super involved in the community. And so, and they hook up, and then she told her daughter, she was open to her daughter about, and then her daughter says it out loud, and that's how Ed finds out.
Yeah, he was like in the other room.
He was in the other room, and the daughter thought he wasn't there at all.
Yeah.
And so that's how he finds out. Mm-hmm. Reese ends up, you know, confessing to everything. Mm-hmm. And so in this episode, you see their therapy session.
Mm-hmm.
And you do see Ed very disengaged. Mm-hmm. You can tell Reese is trying to work hard and apologizing and saying, I'm sorry. And then the therapist gives some, you know, kind of...
Is it odd they all share the same therapist?
I do think that's odd.
And now that I'm like, oh yeah, wait a second, she seems the same one as Celeste does.
Yeah. But I mean, the problem isn't each other, so I think right now we're still ethically okay.
We're ethically sound with the doctor, okay, that's
exactly.
Good.
Ethically okay, maybe there's only one in Monterey.
And she's good.
And she's good.
She's a good
therapist. So she's very direct with them and says, you know, Ed, it feels like you're very disengaged and kind of go with the flow, which has perhaps brought you guys to this place in this relationship. And with Reese, she was basically like, and you hate yourself, like, you know, you're really forcing your daughter to go to college because you didn't go to college and you don't like that about yourself, right?
Yeah.
And then just kind of sits there with it. You can also tell the therapist, you know, kind of wants to go into what's it called? Background information and asks about her family. And, you know, I don't know, you can kind of get the sense of like, why are we talking about that? If this is like our, you know, if we're dealing with our relationship.
How common is that, right?
Yeah,
I mean, it's always, I always like not tiptoe into it with clients sometimes, because I feel like it's one of those things where it's like, why does my past matter? Why does it matter what I went through with my parents? Or they were terrible. They got divorced and my dad was an alcoholic or whatever, and they don't even really go into it. It's like, no, that stuff's important.
Exactly.
It really does shape and affect who we are as people and who we are in relationships.
Exactly. And we'll talk about this in our third topic, but the importance of, you know, if no one is talking to kiddos about like what's going on, they're connecting the dots themselves. So although you may feel like, okay, that's situation does not impact me now, you know, the thinking from what you have like thought about life, you know, in that time is so automatic that you don't even realize it's something that you created because of that experience.
Absolutely.
Until, like you said, you know, you go to therapy and you're able to break it down, or you're able to think like, oh, I believe that about the world because that happened. And so you actually see Reese in this episode, she says, nope, my family was great. They're still married. They're still together. And it's awesome. And then, you know, they cut to a scene where she shares with, I believe it's Nicole Kidman's character,
Celeste,
and is like, actually, I did catch, you know, my dad having sex with somebody who wasn't my mom. And that made her not trust marriage. And so
I was saying that's what she, there was a quote that she said with that. That marriage cannot be trusted.
Marriage cannot be trusted.
And that how that was an ingrained belief that she took with her forever and ever. And it explains her, like, kind of her defensiveness with her first husband and kind of the disengagement that she also, not totally, it's not obvious, it's very subtle, but it's this union that you never really know if it's going to last or if it's going to be healthy. Because that's what the world taught me when I was very young.
Yep. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so I'm sure, you know, now that we know this as an audience, you know, we'll maybe see it get a little bit, you know, kind of weaved through it all. I mean, you can tell, you know, a little bit in the relationship that because of this belief that she has that marriage can't be trusted, like, she doesn't really put a lot of trust in her husband or her marriage.
And
you know,
see like, that too. Mm-hmm. Like, just throughout their interactions, and even in the past season and even this season, she's almost always by herself. We see more of Madeline's ex-husband than we do of Ed, who is a fabulous character. But it's just, that is who his character is. He's like this go-along guy, and he works, and I think he probably helps provide for this incredible home that they've created. They share a daughter together. And but yet, Reese is the one who's at the meetings, who's at, who's engaged with the teachers, who's planning the parties, who's, you know, this and this and this and this.
She's almost connected to everyone else. And then the family is kind of on the back burner. Again, how that can affect the relationship. And now on top of that, you know, she's holding on to two secrets. She was holding on to two secrets. Now it's just one. Like, you know, that that just really affects that emotional connection you can have with somebody. And so no wonder he's, you know, they're feeling distant. And so, but I did like on how the therapist was able to point out, like, okay, yes, although Reese was the one who, you know, did the act, and it will always be that person's fault, that we can also look at the other things surrounding it that increases, that can potentially increase the risk.
Such an important question.
That the person who is the, you know,
the one that was cheated
on. The one that was hurt, you know, is to blame at all, because that is not the case. But it's also looking at, you know, what didn't I do to maybe potentially, you know, increase the risk? Did I not ask them about, you know, how they were feeling about this relationship, or about, you know, our emotional connection, or about our physical connection, or are they feeling loved? Are they feeling special? You know, so I really like that part of being able to look at that, kind of a tricky one too.
Yeah, because somebody is so hurt. And the part that I thought was really cool about what she said to him, what she said something along the lines of, are you indifferent, or are you really that, or do you really not care? Or I don't know, and I guess
the therapist
asked
this, right?
Do you remember what it was?
It was something like that. And just talking basically about his, like, laid back person, you know?
And how that's how that may feel to his partner, and how he started crying, but he didn't show it. Like, I don't even think she noticed. She's Madeline's kind of wacky anyways, so she I don't think she really focuses on anybody else, but he did. He had a tear coming out, so she did. That therapist did a good job at striking a nerve, and I think really got him to think about, oh wait, maybe I do have a little bit of a contribution to my own behavior that I need to be aware of.
Absolutely. The other piece about their whole interaction,
that's hard to do when you're so hurt.
It is. And the other piece that I liked that they showed was it's after the therapy session, and Reese asks.
We'll go back and forth.
Reese, Madeline, who knows? Yeah. She asks, you know, how long are you going to punish me for? And Ed's like, however long I want, you know? And that is such a big part when there is hurt in the relationship. You know, there's one half that, you know, perhaps was the one who cheated or went outside of the relationship, and, you know, they kind of use all their energy to try and try to make things better, and then the other half is just hurt, and it's very difficult to beat that trust. And so, you know, that's always an area that that I find difficult of, you know, of,
well, because you don't want the person that was hurt to kind of be the gatekeeper of moving the relationship forward. And the minute you're able to, and that's what I always find difficult as a therapist working with a couple who's been through something like this, is asking that person that's been hurt, hey, you got to be willing. You got to be willing to reflect on your own stuff, and you have to be willing to get their trust back. You cannot keep punishing somebody. Otherwise, you'll stay stagnant indefinitely.
Exactly. You know? Or wonder, or, you know, being able to realize, okay, what is that barrier? What is it that you need?
For sure.
And, you know, one of the things I you know, I sometimes talk about is, you know, the importance of sometimes what you need now in the beginning isn't what it's going to be like forever. So being able to realize, you know, that even that shifts. But I really like that they were able to show that part too, because that's such a accurate portrayal of when a hurt does happen like that.
I just wish this whole show, maybe like after the whole show, or like make it a 2-hour or 3-hour show, and they show each therapy session with each couple.
I think we probably only like that.
I'm would just love to, because as we're talking, I'm thinking, I wonder what Ed's trauma is. I wonder why he's like so firm on punishing, and what happened to him, and how's Reese. I guess we'll just have to keep watching.
We'll have to assume on our own if they don't have an episode like that. And then the last piece, I touched on it a little bit, but there was a piece in this episode. I know we're talking about, you know, kind of like the adult relationship, mm-hmm. but this also focused on the kids a little bit, mm-hmm. because although, like you said, you know, the adults are holding the secret, it's affecting their marriages. Mm-hmm. Sure, there's that interaction between like Reese and her oldest daughter, you know, and that.
Yeah.
Or maybe that was the episode before. Anyways, so
it was both. Both the last and this one.
Got it. Uh-huh. So there's, you know, kind of the adult relationships, but then we go to a scene where Renata's daughter mm-hmm. is in the closet because she has a panic attack, and then they try to find out what's going on.
I'm just thinking of the part where Renata's like, she was in a coma.
And she had a stroke. She just had a panic attack.
She is a wacky bird.
She had a panic attack. And then mm-hmm. later on it comes out that because in the class they're talking about climate change mm-hmm. and kind of, you know, what's going to happen to the earth. Yeah. And it seems like Renata's daughter is having a hard time dealing with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, granted, I think at the hospital, the doctor also says, like, you know, we think that maybe she'd benefit from therapy as well as the whole family. Because the whole family is going through stuff. You
doctor
know,
Renata, is speaking some truth.
Yes, Renata is obviously holding a secret. She's part of the secret too, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay, two secrets. Yeah. Well, and it's funny because she wasn't a huge part of the first season.
Yeah.
But this season, she's all up in it because she was a part of that event when Perry died. But her husband is mm-hmm.
her
getting,
husband, yeah.
was it arrested for fraud or is on trial for fraud?
Yes.
And I love the line from the episode before when she said, I will not be rich.
Yes.
Like, this is my goal in life. And I think that has probably been her security blanket mm-hmm. in a way. Like, she's been able to, hey, I got this,
mm-hmm.
nothing, like, I can handle whatever. Yes. And as soon as that is threatened, woo-wee.
Ooh, absolutely.
She's on shaky ground.
What can happen, exactly. Yeah. So.
But with the kids, so mm-hmm. they go, so she, when the doctor denied her request to be transferred to Stanford for nothing, the mom went with the advice and got a psychologist who came to the home, who is dressed as Little Bo Peep.
Yes.
I would never.
Yeah.
But the kid liked her.
Yeah.
And the kids do like that stuff.
And that's all that matters.
And that's all that matters.
The connection.
And that's the thing. How many times have you heard from adults that you've worked with and they were maybe hesitant to come into therapy and they were like, when I was a kid, I went mm-hmm. and it was horrible. Mm-hmm. And so this girl connected, mm-hmm. had a nice, safe relationship with this odd lady, mm-hmm. But that doesn't matter. It was the experience that the child had, and she was able to work through some of her own anxieties. Yeah. Now this kid is going to have a good understanding of this mm-hmm. process.
Exactly. Which is cool. Exactly. And I think it's important to note that, you know, kiddos, although yes, you can talk to them about mm-hmm. a lot of things, and it's fine to talk to them about, you know, kind of climate change and stuff, but also being able to, you know, take their pulse on like how they're feeling and how they're interpreting
that was the missing
information.
Piece.
That was the missing piece where you're right, like the teacher was maybe just like talking about mm-hmm. it and not realizing that with some of the kiddos, some of these things are really stirring up some really difficult feelings for them. And if you're not checking in with them, mm-hmm. Or if you're not asking them, like, how did you interpret that? Mm-hmm. You know, kiddos are going to connect the dots themselves.
Yep.
And so you just have to be mindful, you know, as a parent or anyone that works with kiddos, that, you know, you communicate at their level, mm-hmm. but then you also let them explain to you how they understood mm-hmm. it, as well as just check in with them randomly, just about, you know, what's kind of going on in their world.
Right.
Because, you know, a lot that can affect their ability to communicate is if, you know, you as a family or mm-hmm. you as a, you know, classroom culture, or if open communication isn't a thing. And mm-hmm. as we know, because people are holding a lot of secrets, mm-hmm. there's probably not a lot of communication mm-hmm. happening. Or if people are on edge.
It's like spazzy. Like especially in this kid's home, it's mm-hmm. like the mom is really stressed out, rightfully mm-hmm. so. She's holding on a secret. Her husband is, or their finances are being threatened.
Yeah.
She's stressed out.
Yep.
Yeah. We all get stressed out.
Yes.
Help your kid understand what's going on.
Exactly.
Provide them a sense of safety.
Exactly.
You know, help them connect the dots for them, yep, or help them, you know, together work as a team, yeah, to do it.
Yeah. And know that you can go to a therapist for that same thing too.
Yeah.
That you can go with your partner or you can go with, mm-hmm, yourself, you know, to be able to ask the therapist, like,
you're bringing, you know, up a good point. Cause I want to just say, like, with that, mm-hmm, therapy can be a wonderful opportunity to just have somebody kind of clear up whatever, mm-hmm, the, mm-hmm, misconception is. Mm-hmm. It doesn't need to be because somebody's wrong or somebody's mentally ill, mm-hmm, or I have a bad kid. Yeah. It doesn't need to be anything like that. It can be somebody sitting in the room who's removed from the emotion, mm-hmm, that can really help kind of sort out what is going on. And I think, yes, that's exactly what that therapist,
yep,
did.
Yep.
She's like, hey, she's worried about the world ending.
Yes.
Mom, she knows you're freaking stressed out.
Yeah.
You gotta chill. Dad, she's worried about you.
Yeah.
And
mostly that, about the world.
But
she
mostly
says.
About the world.
Yeah.
Which totally just took all of this big ball of stress that,
yes,
mom and dad were having,
yes,
and kind of contained it into,
exactly,
very workable, doable goals,
exactly,
for them as a family.
Exactly.
That's what therapy can be for,
exactly,
you know, for
just someone,
people,
to bounce off ideas, mm-hmm, off of. And sometimes it's just even to hear somebody say, yeah, that's exactly what you should be doing.
Exactly.
Like just getting that confirmation,
yeah,
of,
mm-hmm,
oh, okay.
Okay,
like,
cool.
I'm on the right track.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I like that, you know, they touched on just kind of different levels in this episode. So moving on to our next segment, mm-hmm, of, you know, bullshit. So this is, we're going to try.
Is this
kind of new?
It's kind of
okay,
new.
Okay, so
it's
new.
Been a work in progress,
yes,
but I think,
yes,
we like where we've landed today.
Yes, yes.
And we're going to keep moving forward with it.
Exactly. So in the past, you know, we were doing the bullshit meter, but we decided that together, mm-hmm, out of every episode that we watch or pop culture reference, we would pull out perhaps one, you know, bullshit advice,
uh-huh,
that perhaps was put out there into the universe. And,
yep,
so we want to clear up. And so for this episode, drum roll.
Drum roll, please. Was her wacky bird, Renata. And the way that she is handling this stress that she's under is with such force and, mm-hmm, aggression and, mm-hmm, defensiveness,
mm-hmm,
and I get it because, mm-hmm, I'm like, I would love to be a fly on the wall in her therapy,
yes,
session too.
Yes.
But she obviously has some things where she feels the need to be strong,
mm-hmm,
and in situations like this, that's,
mm-hmm,
not always the best approach.
Yeah, and I think, you know, like you said, you know, being able to be vulnerable, being able to say like, yes, I'm worried. Not only
lean on your supports,
yes,
right?
Lean on your supports.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not only is a relief for you, but then also what you're modeling to your kiddos.
Uh-huh.
Like, for example, you know, she's probably, you know, being strong. And so, you know, her daughter kind of thinks, like, I can't talk to anybody about this,
mm-hmm,
because of that. And so, so, you know, this idea that you have to be strong and aggressive when things are not going your way, we would say that is probably
bullshit.
The bullshit advice for this week's episode.
That's right.
Yeah.
I like this. I like this new segment. It's going to be good for us.
Perfect. We also have another.
We also have another one.
New segment, which, so I know we've been talking about takeaways,
mm-hmm,
and sometimes, you know, our takeaways can be pretty vague in general, and,
mm-hmm,
just kind of like, talk to your partner about this or,
yeah,
look into this. And so we wanted to be a little bit more specific so you actually have almost like action items. Be able to,
yep, food for thought.
Yeah, to carry on, you know, perhaps for the weekend,
mm-hmm,
or the week. And so this week's action item is,
what are you worried about?
Yeah.
Yeah. What are
so
you worried
that's
about?
The question. You know, what are you worried about? So that's,
mm-hmm,
a question that you can either, you know, do for yourself, you,
mm-hmm,
know, bringing up to the surface. I know a lot of us can probably go, or jam pack our schedule, and we
mm-hmm,
never sit with ourselves to think about, you know, what is it that we're worried about right now?
Yeah.
A great question to also ask your partner. I mean, if, you know, you have a really busy life,
yeah,
and you just talk about almost like the logistic of things, like,
yep,
who's going here, who's taking care of the laundry, who's driving the kids, you know, it could sometimes be missed of what's on their mind, what are they worried about? And if you haven't created that space to talk to them about it, then,
I mean, that's where
now
we
you
know,
are.
That's where we know anxiety comes from.
Yeah.
So think of Renata, if somebody were to say, hey, Renata, what are you worried about? Truly, what,
mm-hmm,
are you worried about?
Mm-hmm.
And I bet you that would give her such a breath, you know, to be able to say, I'm worried about being poor.
Yes.
I'm worried about my husband going to jail.
Yeah.
I'm worried about my kids struggling with anxiety. Yeah, yeah, girl, let's talk about it. Because all that stuff that she's worried about, she's just stuffing, and she's going about her business, yelling at doctors, yelling at her husband.
And we know what happens when you stuff your feelings.
Yes, we do. Yes. We are seeing it in this episode. Exactly. And it's funny because I think you were saying that people were saying that this is one of the most boring episodes.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, this is like our bread and butter.
So much. And then lastly, also, you know, a question that you can definitely ask your kids, you know, I know that sometimes we think, you know,
absolutely,
their lives are so easy. Like, what could they be stressed about? But everything, think about it. Like, if you've only been on this world for like 4 or 5 years,
and like this little kid, you know, this very kind teacher is just going about teaching about climate change, and then she's thinking the world's going to end. How are you going to know that stuff unless you ask?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. So again, the action item for this week, your takeaway is what worries you.
I like this action item. I'm going to go take it home to myself.
Yep.
I'm going to use
perfect,
it too.
Perfect. Well, stuff. Maybe we'll come back and report.
Yeah. Sounds
just
good.
Just how it went, not what's actually worrying our significant others.
We don't want to bore you with our own therapy sessions.
Exactly.
Okay?
So with that being said, that's the end.
That's it.
Of this episode.
Yeah.
So let us know what you think about the new segments, and we will be back next week.
We'll be back next week.
All right.
All right.
Have a
thanks.
Great week.
Bye.
If you enjoyed this episode of Bullships, please head over to your podcast player to subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. Disclaimer: the information and resources contained in this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended to assess, diagnose, or treat any medical and/or mental health condition. The use of this podcast does not imply nor establish any type of therapist-client relationship. Furthermore, the information obtained from this podcast should not be considered a substitute for a thorough medical and/or mental health evaluation by an appropriately credentialed and licensed professional.